Good morning. Yeah, good morning. Republic of Texas Radio. Today's date is, well, September the 10th, a day before September 11th, 2023. Wow. Tomorrow, what's going to happen? What's Joe Biden going to do up there in Alaska?
Real quick here, Steve. You know, I'm who don't remember actually, you know, watching that, but you know, for what, like 2 days, you know, it was over and over and over. Oh. You know, the planes hitting the buildings falling to the ground. You know, however they fell, you know, and it was just, you know, because everyone was still basically in shock. No one was really paying a lot of attention to what was going on. We've been invaded, we've been attacked, you know, this and this. And then, like on the third day, they said, well, we're not going to show that anymore because we feel it's too tragic for the American
people.
Too
traumatic.
And we can't let them see that over and over again. You want to know why, folks? Because if you watch it enough and you actually have a little bit of time, you start to wonder and you start to notice the little indiscrepancies that, how did a plane hit and make, you know, what are the squib loads going off as the buildings are falling, you know, 10 stories beneath it, you know, all these windows being blown out and everything, and, oh, that was just the air pressure. And it's like, no, I'm an architect, and that don't make no sense, you know. And,
right.
You know, if they showed it over and over again, too many people would actually notice that it didn't happen like they told us it happened, you know. Ain't no way
right.
in hell.
I know. It's really funny. No, it's not funny. It was painful. It was a real painful, you know, part of our day, you know, our life. You know, you realize there's a lot of people that are 21, 22, 23 that were zero, not born. You know, how old would you have to be to actually understand what was going on September 11th, 2021? You know, if you were 10 years old when that stuff happened, did it matter to you? You probably saw your parents freaking out a little bit, but you're probably more worried about, if it was 2021, you'd be worried about your toys, what you're doing, what they're trying
to
make.
Kind of like watching the moon landing, Steve. My dad was sitting there. My dad was in Air Force Intelligence, you know, watching, you know, the first steps on the moon. And as we watched them come out and take the one giant leap for mankind, you know, I remember turning to my dad and asking him, it's like, who's running the camera?
What did he say?
He just kind of looked at me and didn't answer me. I don't even know if he had an answer, if he was even thinking about that. But that was one of the first things. I was sitting there watching, and I'm like, well, okay, that camera's like 30 yards away from the lander. It's like, who's taking the pictures? Who's filming this?
Yeah.
I don't know. Real or not, I can't say for certain, but I have questions.
You know, 20 years ago, I mean, 20 years later, right? It was only 19 years later, okay? They did another one. And the whole coronavirus thing, definitely the pandemic, that whole thing was definitely another false flag slash BS-a-thon, and it was caught on film too. Remember all the talking heads? They said the exact same thing on every TV across the United States. All the local people, that the same verbiage. I don't have the clip anymore it showed a video of all these clowns getting up there saying the same thing over and over again, over and over again. You're like, oh.
Like 60, man. like a split screen with like 60 different screens on it. And I this is RT America once again, you know. They played this, and it's like they'd synced it up to where every reporter was saying the exact same words at the exact same time. They synced it up, so they were all, and there's like 60 people saying the exact same thing all over the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was scary, right? It was scarier than the coronavirus to hear them all talk like that, right? I'm like going, oh, so they got the systems are in place. Time to make, you know, that system change. I believe October 9th.
The BBC reporter on 9/11 saying, we've just received word that the Solomon building has collapsed into its own footprint. And over her shoulder, the building number 7, the Solomon building, is still standing over her shoulder.
Yeah.
All for like another 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, that might be, you know. But they can easily explain those things away. It was timing. Oh, you're just stupid. Oh, that never happened, right? Those are the easy explanations, right? You know, it doesn't matter what the truth is. That's the funny thing. It just doesn't matter, because what they can say and project out there, you know, it's bigger than the truth. It's bigger than the truth. You know, the truth might be the truth, right? That there is nothing different between it. There's, well, okay, I might be wrong there. There's a male, there's a female, and there's a being that can self-replicate, right? There's a worm, right, Alan? You know more of that kind of stuff, right? A worm is itself, right?
Yeah, they call it parthenogenic birth, where you know, in a stressed environment, you know, certain amphibians and I think some fish, I've forgotten everything. It's been a while since I've looked at this, but, you know, in the absence of a male reproductive system, they can give birth, but all of the offspring are all female, because there is no Y chromosome in there to create a male. Yes, and certain earthworms, you know, some of them, you know, if I remember right, you know, do carry male and female sex organs, and they basically go F themselves, and yeah, can have offspring. but you know, there is different types of life and some weird life on this planet. I mean, look at monotremes, you know, the echidna, you know, the spiny anteater, and the platypus, the only two mammals on the planet that lay eggs.
I didn't know that. You know, but there's a lot about that biology stuff. But we were talking 9/11, and I didn't really want to get into it, but I guess it is really a cornerstone in our whole world. We had another 9/11 style nonsense thing. You know, they wore out 9/11. Right? I mean, they really did it really bad, all the way up to mission accomplished. Was that like 2005, and finally, you know, well, shoot, it took to like 2022 for them to actually run away from Afghanistan. You know, the Russians were smarter back in the 70s when they got caught up. Was it the 70s or the 80s? I don't know. The quagmire that was called Afghanistan. They say that these power structures, the United States, the superpowers, will dominate everything, but they couldn't even take over a country with a bunch of sheep and goats, right? I mean, these folks in Afghanistan have been attacked by superpowers, right, for how many years? And the superpower, the United States of America.
Don't forget our CIA was in there, Steve, and we took a bunch of goat herders that had organized into the Northern Alliance, and then we created... created the Northern Alliance, which then became Al-Qaeda that we were fighting later on. Yeah.
You know, I know, it's always been a setup, but now who are they? They're themselves again, and they're what we call a backward and twisted society that bases themselves around a book called the Quran, right? But they say they're not about the book, they say they're about whatever, right? You know, you just do you, right? We shouldn't have done anything, right? That was dumb. That was a setup. We learned about 9/11. But now we have this latest thing that happened in 2020, right? I like to call it March 2020, because that's when they pulled the plug on the talking heads, started going crazy, right? Was it February of 2020? We had the great disappearing toilet paper. It all disappeared from the shelves, right? And everybody, well, was mean to each other by stealing each other's toilet paper. Did that happen to you? Didn't happen to me. But, you know, I do know.
No, because I'm basically kind of what you would call a prepper. Plus, I don't go to town just when I need something. It's kind of a little ways in there.
Yeah.
I had stocks of toilet paper. And
they fought for toilet paper.
And I wasn't battling some mother, you know, in the line at the shopping center. So
we had a shopping place here, you know, in Fredericksburg, and they had vans that came up from Houston and cleaned out our store of toilet paper. I'm like, really? They're like, yeah, all these people came in and just bought all the toilet paper. I'm like, wow, okay. think they'd go for the milk or something else, but no, it was the toilet paper, and they went back to Houston, I guess. You know, and how do you know it was Houston? You know, I don't know. Never really. It was just a fast and furious time, right? A bunch of nonsense was happening. All the hospitals were overflown. Remember that? Overflown, overfilled, Alan. But they weren't. But they weren't. Here on RBN, we were listening, right? And this is for you Democrats out there. We were listening, right, to your nonsense. And we were going out to the hospitals, and we were looking and filming. And the hospitals were empty. There's four cars in front of an entire hospital. Really? Was that the two janitors and a receptionist? I don't know. We need a receptionist to turn everybody away because, you know, people that were really sick were left really sick and coded, right? And this is all fact. Sorry. They were coded COVID. And he died of COVID. What do you mean he has a knife in him? Oh, yeah, but really, COVID. It's obvious. How is it obvious? Shut up. What? Yeah, and that was the world, right? And we're still in that.
He decapitated in a motorcycle accident, and he died of COVID.
Definitely COVID. He had COVID, so we're going to call it COVID. You know, the U.S. government, right? And governments around the world sent memos out saying that you may think that it's a death by something or else, but we assure you it's COVID. So mark it COVID. And, you know, COVID deaths will be reimbursed all this money. And you're like, okay, well, they kind of told me they're going to give me some money if I just lie. Right? And so they lied. And we're still dealing with that right now. And
once again, Steve, I worked, you know, with someone whose real job was a nurse
lying.
At a local hospital. And, you know, I asked this person, I said, you know, during the COVID thing, when the lockdowns and everything, I said, was the hospital full? He said, no, there was hardly anyone there, you know. And then later on, you know, when the COVID started coming in and they started giving, you know, run death is near, you know, to everyone. I said, how many people are you having come in with a cold or a flu or something like that? He said, no one. I said, so everyone that comes in sick gets put on remdesivir? And he said, basically, yeah.
Yeah. I just remember the fascinating points, and I'll get on to where I was going to. I have a local story. It's from 2021. It was pretty dang close to 2020. You know, we were still in the nonsense. But man, they built, what's it called? Intentional hospitals, community hospital. I believe there's one down near Houston that they took a stadium, and they're like, well, this is going to be a great achievement of mankind. We are going to build a hospital out of nothing. Dun, dun, dun. And we need respirators. How many respirators do we need? We need a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. And so they're blowing people's... anybody can build a respirator, right? No, that's not true, right? But they were pretty much saying everybody could build a respirator. Isn't that the word respirator, Alan? Am I getting it wrong?
Yeah. It's we needed full body scanners at all the airports. Let me see. And who was one of the major investors in the body scanner building industry? Oh, that was our, what was it, Son of the Devil, Chertoff, yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating, all this, the you know, stupidity that happened during the time. But the intentional construction of these super hospitals to go after the pandemic of dead people that never happened, the ice trucks, the body trucks, right, that never happened, but they were there. They'd photograph a truck and say, this is a refrigerated truck full of bodies. Dun, dun, dun. And you're like, can we see inside? No. State secrets. It's like nobody had that. There was nobody in these massive hospitals. There were super ships.
Fear. Fear.
Oh, my God.
It's a very effective weapon, Steve. It's a very effective weapon.
Today, the liberals and even the right-wing nuts, right, they still see the COVID, the whatever the hell you want to call it, as an important thing. They went out and got their jab, right? They did. They went out and got their jab. And listening to Dave Kopeck last night, and he hit a point. Oh, it's sad. It's sad that vaccine remorse, right? Great point on this, by the way. Vaccine remorse is pretty much, well, is one-sided. I've never heard somebody say, well, I really wish I got the lethal injection. I mean, the COVID shot, right? Never heard that. Never heard anybody say, well, I've heard on I've heard people write about people that talked about stuff on the internet, right? I have 6 or 7 shots of COVID in our system going, wow, oh, he's dying? Oh, dead, sorry, you know. But vaccine remorse, the pure blood people, the people with blood that does not, well, again, we're worried about that, right? This all of a sudden, this mRNA, right, these gene mods, right, that have been out there, they're saying, well, we're going to start using them on cows since it was so successful and, you know, well, transmission, you know. Is it?
What do you think the GMO plants have been doing to people that only eat vegetables? You know, they've been GMOing plants for longer than they've been doing it to animals. And what do you think? You eat a plant with a changed genetic structure in it. What do you think? It's, you know, your body was not meant to digest that, to break it down. And if there is that component that can change your genetic structure, get into your cellular structure and your machinery, how long has this been going on?
Exactly. Hey, yesterday there was a big thing. I'm surprised you didn't go to it. It was a march for Alzheimer's here in Fredericksburg. And I'm like, oh, okay, so you guys are marching for Alzheimer's. Well, it's for Alzheimer's awareness. I'm like, okay. Hey, you wouldn't be chance taking donations there, would you? You know, because, you know, we all hate Alzheimer's, right? You know, so what are you going to do? They're going to take money for Alzheimer's research. Well, I think you're just taking money, really. Steve, you're jaded again, you know. But these groups, these organizations, they round everybody up. Here, march down the streets. It's a march for Alzheimer's. You know, signups are only $29. You get a free T-shirt, right? Or you can, and then donate an extra $500.
That is one of the saddest things that's happening to society. You know, I would almost say that it's worse than cancer, because your loved ones that used to be what used to be your loved ones are turned into these babbling vegetables that don't know who they are, who you are, where they are. They don't know the world that they live in anymore. You know, at least someone with dying of cancer, you know, they pretty much know what they have, and unfortunately they go down and they get shot full of, you know, nerve gas, and, you know, get parts cut off, and, you know, all this other, you know, terrible stuff. And look at the hundreds of billions of dollars the American Cancer Society has collected over the years. Someone's getting real freaking rich, and ain't a damn thing happening to get rid of what the money was sent in for.
I just saw a documentary called Telemarketers, and it was about a company, let me look that up real quick, a CDG was the name of the company. CDG, we'll do this after the break, they gathered money for the Fraternal Order of Police. We'll talk about that when we get back, maybe. We'll see. Republic of Texas Radio.
Hey, there. Are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, we're about out of time. We've got a little bit of time left. But you can call into the show if you feel like it or not. 1-800-313-9443. That cadence is pretty good. Or 512-248-8252. It's a little bit bumpy. I'll figure out how to say those numbers easier. Or not. We were just talking about Fredericksburg. March for Alzheimer's. Everybody got down, and I'm like, sometimes it's just annoying to get a phone call, and somebody's like, I'm the Cancer Society, and we would like you to get a donation. I says, well, I don't want to donate to cancer, right? Oh, no, we're fighting cancer. Are you really? Do you know where cancer come from? Do you know what cancer is? No, but that's what we're researching. Okay. Nobody's ever done that before. Nobody's ever succeeded. Perhaps it's because, well, it's all about nutrition. I guess that's kind of the thing. You know, we were just talking about it, and that's how we slid into this, Alan. It's about foods, GMOs, right? What's it? Petrol, chemically produced. Is that the right way of saying it? Crops, right? The fertilizer. What, you know, the fertilizer companies were all chemical companies before they came into fertilizers. I remember Derry Brownfield talking about that stuff. How absurd that was. You know,
Well, see, I've got an old glass, you know, the old glass, like from, you know, early 1900s, you know, and embossed in the glass, it says Kellogg Chemical Company, and it's up where Kellogg is still located, and I guess they switched from what, a chemical company to everyone's cereal that you eat in the morning? You know, or what other else, you know, they're involved in producing, you know, just this bottle that I've got, it was the Kellogg's Chemical Company before it was a food producing company, I guess. I really don't know, you know, the exact connection, but it's from the same town that Kellogg's is still located in.
Yeah, and that's fascinating. Dr. Wallach, this guy named Dr. Wallach. Fascinating read, right? His thoughts on that is, well, I don't know. Because when it comes down to it, a lot of times our average listener, not the more liberal side or the righty side, right, that trusts things like the FDA or, well, the food industry, or, you know, I know we trust things for our own reason. I want to drink a Coke, but I don't want to have all that fructose, corn syrup, or sugar in it, so I'm going to get this one that says zero. People do that because they're used to it, but that's not natural. Water is natural. Teas are natural, right? And you can't just have any kind of tea, again. But now we go into this whole society where we're creating these concoctions that we call lasagna in a box, right? And you have 56 ingredients. You're like, what the hell is that? I thought it should be like chunks of chicken, and it should say something like chicken, flour, oil, seasonings, right? You know, a couple of different seasonings. But no, you know, we've been kind of trained to that, and those things are killing us. And even like you said earlier, Alan, the corn. What the hell's in the corn? I don't know. We're kind of sliding
down. The one ingredient on almost every packaged anything, and even probably some fresh products, you'll see natural flavorings. And, you know, that can encompass a whole range of chemicals that they don't like putting MSG on stuff anymore, or aspartame. So they just put that in natural flavorings.
We consider it a natural flavoring. Yeah, okay. It's horrible. Let's go to the phones. Let's start taking them. Andy, how are you doing this morning, Andy?
Oh, hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. No, just to add, a handful of another mess. You know, we got this major war going on over there in Ukraine. I mean, we've been told that it's a major war between Russia and Ukraine and whatnot. But Zelensky seems to somehow have a way to just shuffle off to Egypt and buy himself a $6 million home next to Angelina Jolie's home over there. I mean, isn't this an interesting, it kind of correlates with what you guys are saying, the kind of dipstick kind of stuff that's going on in our world, in the middle of a war where he's conscripting people to get into the war and whatnot, but he has time to go take a look at a $6 million home and purchase it, right?
Mm-hmm. And he has the money, too. How the hell did he get the money?
That was my next question.
That's a good question. I mean,
how many hundreds of billions of dollars have we sent over there, supposedly?
I wonder if Angelina Jolie just, like, kind of called him up. Hey, man, we got a house open right here. You should buy it. He goes, oh, crap, thanks. I got a few extra billion dollars laying around.
Hey, all right, so thanks, gentlemen. I just wanted to bring that up. You have a good one.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. Republic of Texas Radio will be back. Final segment coming up.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, "Just try it"? I have my health today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So here we fight. All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Yeah, we were talking about the March for Alzheimer's, or at Alzheimer's, or against Alzheimer's, and whatever. It doesn't matter. They don't want to cure it. That's a secret. Don't tell anybody.
Well, you know, Steve, you know, they created the war on cancer, you know, and what's happened now, it's like, what, 1 in 2 people are expected to get cancer in their lifetime. You know, God forbid, you know, if they start a war on Alzheimer's, that means that most of us will just be walking around babbling in the streets. You know, I don't know. You know, it's I don't see a good thing that this civilization is working towards at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There might be bright spots and enjoy them when you can find them, folks. But,
yeah. Yeah, I was beginning to talk about Dr. Wallach, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I hope I, but not right today. Right, you know. But there was a thing, and I'm going to have to refresh myself about one of a big March. I think it was a March of Dimes thing, right? Where, but anyways, let's go to the phones. 512-248-8252. Sovereign Man, what's up, man?
Hey guys, how y'all today?
Not sure yet. You're kind of crackly.
Okay, how's that? Is that better?
That's not crackly and garbly.
Oh, hallelujah. Just giving you a heads up. It's been a minute, and
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm trying to stay focused because you guys were talking about marching and, you know, marching for dollars and all that jazz. But actually, what you had triggered me when you said you saw a movie about, you know, telemarketers. And it was FOP. Is that correct?
The name of the company was CDG.
CDG. But I wanted to talk about a movie. It was called, and we want to go back to June of this year, June 12th, about the, you know, the Disclosure Project at the National Press Club. Prior to that, there was a movie that was released called The Lost Century. Are you familiar with it?
No, I'm not.
Okay, it was put on by, it was done by the Disclosure Project, you know, Stephen Alan Greer. And he's talking about, you know, we got, the people need to come forward and they got to, like, it's all the inventors that have invented things and they've disappeared or, you know, something happened to them or they canceled out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the movie is about that. It's about, you know, how businesses and corporations, you know, they go and they confront these people and they try to make a deal with them. And if they don't make a deal, then, you know, they become, you know, sleeping in the dirt. So, and it's kind of interesting because I just befriended a man named Kurt Riggin, and he told the story about, you know, these bags that have the thermal bags that you go in the store and you put your, you know, your cold stuff, your frozen stuff, and it stays frozen for 2-3 hours in the sun or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Well, the guy who invented that, he ran it through the patent office. And his patent wasn't approved, and there's like 5 other patents applied to that, you know, use. And it's called aluminized polyester or something like that. And it had to do with, you know, how do Americans, and it all leads back to the military-industrial complex. You know, they're over in Iraq. They put up these canvas tents, and they hook up air conditioners to them, and the air conditioners only reduce the 130-degree temperatures to, you know, 18 degrees. So most Americans can't function at 112 degrees or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then the guy came up with that aluminized polyester, and they coated the inside of those tents, and it took it down, you know, 30, 40 degrees so they can function and sleep and whatnot. So, you know, the military-industrial complex, they actually, all the technology that they suppressed and have scarfed up for the powers that should not be. And, you know, I'm not over in Iraq. I'm not over in Afghanistan. I am not in where's the current show at? Where the guy bought
Ukraine.
The $6 billion house?
Ukraine, Ukraine.
Yeah, you know, I'm not over there. So when people say we are over there, or we did this and we did that, well, you can make a claim and you can claim that, and you can stand before the Creator for that. But it's not me.
You can say they are. You know, I mean, I didn't do it. You're right. I don't like the people lumping stuff on me that I didn't do. You know, but you supported them. Same, screw you. I didn't support them.
How'd I do that? Could you?
Well, unfortunately, and this is not a real popular opinion that I have, but when you go down and you vote, you are basically giving your acquiescence that you trust and you honor the government that is in place.
Alan, you triggered me again. It's all your fault. Have you seen the Larkin Rose latest offering, the Jones Plantation?
No.
It's been released. It's been out for some time. I've been trying to find it online. But you can go to jonesplantation.movie or something like that. And I've had a lot of good feedback about it, and I want to see it. So maybe we should have a a viewing of it at where's that draft house where they do movies and have a bookstore and all that? Is that still around?
Oh, I don't know.
You talking about the one that was in Austin that they used to show movies at? You know, the bookstore there.
There was Brave New Books.
Brave New Books, yeah.
Brave New Books in Austin. And I don't even know if it's there anymore. Right?
Okay, wow. I tell you what, I hit the lottery. I'm gonna put a foundation up and restart that stuff. Sounds like a good idea to me.
It was an incredible place when I saw it, right? But I don't know if it stood through Corbett. Right, Corbett was a pretty awful thing, and being in Austin under COVID, Corbett, whatever you want to call
scam,
it.
Yeah, scam debit. It does James Colbert a disservice when you say that. I call it the scam debit. Plandemic, scandemic.
And also that bookstore being in Austin, which is for the most part a very liberal city, you know, it wasn't probably as populated as it should have been, you know, because of the books that they sold there were very controversial too, if you want to call them the liberal, the lefties, whatever you want to, you know, call that community. I don't like putting these monikers because, you know, that once again, you're classifying yourself. Well, I'm a conservative. You're a liberal, you know. I just don't like putting these monikers. I don't want to be a Democrat. I don't want to be a Republican, you know. I'm kind of me, and I don't like these. I don't like to classify myself, you know, because when you do that, that means that you're accepting some kind of group conformity. And in today's world, that's not a good thing. Yeah, exactly, my friend. Yeah.
I'll stick with that.
I hear you.
I think that's what Moses, when Moses went up that hill, and allegedly that was said to him, when Moses said, "Who are you?"
Now, here's something. You know, you were talking about right, the lost century. I can actually see something like that, right? Something that talked about all the stuff that we lost the 100 years from now. But when you talk about having a screening, I go, what the hell for? You know, we had a film producer, right, from here in Fredericksburg, Gillespie County, Fredericksburg, well, Chuck Undersea, and he did a movie, and it was originally called
Behold a Pale Horse.
Behold a Pale Horse, right? And I think they changed the name.
America's Last Hope, and then there was some controversy about the title, probably with the guy who is the caretaker, Bill Cooper, and they changed it to Revolution, or Revelation.
Yeah, it was a damn shame, and I saw what he was doing, right? You know, and I understood he came from a film background, and you know that's he was going to do this to show what he knew. And Alan knew him better than I did. You met him at a Ron Paul get up before you met me. Was that right?
I've actually got a bit part in that movie. Yeah. But when he told me the name that he'd come up for the movie, I said, "Oh, Bill Cooper." He said, "What?" Mm-hmm. You know, he'd never heard of or read Bill Cooper. You know, and I said, "That's the name of his book, Behold a Pale Horse." Oh, I didn't know that. You know,
but it was interesting. I was sitting there. You know, I had him on the show a few times, right? And I had his wife on the show. But, you know, it was fascinating to me that I was asked him to share a clip out of the movie with city council one year in 2011. And he said, "No, that's copyrighted. You can't do that." And I go, "Well, I'm asking you." And he said, "No, you can use the approved clips only." And I'm like, "Okay, well, that's relevant, right? And I just need your permission to do it. I won't do it with you won't say because you're a friend." And I'm like going, okay. So legally, he's caught in a conundrum where he doesn't want to. And it kind of feels like for the good of humanity, I can't pull the parachute cord because, well, there's a law against it. So I'm going to hit the ground. Bam! like, oh crap, that wasn't what I was talking about, really. But it felt really funny to be denied.
It was an awkward moment.
I'm like, okay, whatever. Moving on. But then we had The Sound of Freedom come out, right? I'm like, what the hell is that? I still haven't seen it. Don't need to see it. I've seen enough stuff about human trafficking, and I know all that stuff. And it's just like, okay, so this is for the people that... Who is it for? Who was it for, Sovereign Man? I mean...
Hey, Steve, this is like...
It was to bring about an awareness that it's going on, and America is the largest consumer of that product.
Yeah. This is like the guy who runs cattle on my property. Last time I talked with him, I went out, and we're out there talking, and he goes, hey, have you heard about this new movie about that stuff? Because I'm sure I mentioned something about, you know, about the perversion and the deviancy, and I said, oh, you're talking about, what was it, The Sound of Freedom? And he said, yeah. I said, well, I haven't been able to see it because I don't have the internet or anything. I said, but yes, I've heard about it. So maybe, you know, a guy that runs cattle out here in the frickin' Texas hills, if it's helping wake them up to what's really going on, more power to it.
I'll send it to Steve. He can bring it to you. You know, I'll send it to Steve. It won't be a thumb driver. I'll put it up on a file
here. I'll try to get it to you. Just throw it to me on Skype or something like that. Yeah. But we'll see. Maybe so. Maybe that was what Chuck Undersea was trying to do. He was trying to get that kind of traction. And I applauded him for all of his work, and still do, right? Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, you remember he had a couple of showings. He actually rented out the movie theater here in town and had a couple of showings of that movie. You know, and there were and he went around town and invited all these business owners and a cousin of mine who's fairly powerful here. Had a little discussion about it, but I'm sure it just went in one ear and out the other because that kind of makes their life uncomfortable.
I did have an opportunity to have a chat with Al Adask, you know?
I remember Al.
I was like, Al, you're still alive? Last time I saw anything from you was in that movie. You know, Al Adask was in that movie, right?
Yep, I believe so.
And I said, Al, I said, dude, everybody in that movie is dead.
Pretty much,
pretty much everybody in that movie.
Pastor Butch Paul is still kicking around, but Catherine Albrecht is gone, and I can't remember exactly the whole cast, but a vast majority of them are no longer with us.
Joyce Riley, what's his
Jones.
Name? Alex Jones.
There were so many versions of that
Jones
movie.
Is Alex Jones gone? He ain't gone.
No.
No.
But I'm saying mostly everybody in the movie. What was it? Stan Monteith,
I love
Joan
Stan
Vion. I knew Joan. But
the thing was with Chuck Undersea's movie, he had so many versions of it. It's great. By the end, when it turned into whatever it was, it wasn't the same movie. The first movie, it had the Appleseed Project in it, right?
Right.
And there was a great scene that I went to the filming of it, and I held a piece of cardboard with a reflective surface towards an actor, Appleseed person's name, and he sat there and repeated the same words about the Constitution over and over again for 2 hours. And meanwhile, they kept having Alan and another friend of mine shoot at targets because they wanted the shot to have guns firing and shots and firing. And so, Alan sitting there, pew, pew, and they only shot 22s, right? But it was actually...
There was a variety of rifles out there. It wasn't just all 22s. In fact, I think I brought two or three firearms with me to that, and because at that point I didn't have a whole lot of ammo, and it's like, and they shot, and then they reshot, so I'd have to go get a different firearm and lay on the ground and shoot a different firearm, and get hot brass. You know how hard it is to lay still when you got hot brass landing on your legs?
I could see you guys.
Liberty tolls. Firearms are federal classification.
Our friend that was next to to Alan during the shooting of that film, at least that scene in the film. You know, she laid down there, well, they were laying down on an individual mat next to each other, doing shots from laying prone, I guess you'd say it was. And the guy next to her had some kind of an AR, and it was very machine-like. And so it would eject the cartridge, the empty cartridge, and hit her arm. And it kept doing that for 2 hours. She showed me the bruise afterwards. And I'm like, why didn't you put something on top? She says, I did. It kept flying away, and I couldn't, and I just, it hurts. Do you remember that? What was her name? Anne? Alice?
Was that Jody that was laying? I can't remember who that was laying next to me. That's been quite a few years back.
Yeah, it was too, and now we're reminiscing. But it is an interesting thing, the movies. And I'm glad something finally caught with people. You know, The Sound of Freedom caught with people. You know, that's a patriot movie. It's not really a patriot. It's a human movie to talk about stuff. But the people just like, God, that's undercover, right? You know, it's not just because Jeffrey Epstein. You know, it's because people don't want to admit that it's happening.
Right. It's the ugly truth, and they don't want to look in the mirror because it might be close to them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, where is it? It's everywhere.
The things that need to be talked about that aren't talked about.
Hey, brothers, back to the Disclosure Project. Right after they had the press conference at the National Press Club. Then they got this stuff going on in a Senate subcommittee hearing on UAPs. Did you watch any of that stuff?
I really don't know what a UAP is. I guess that's
it's another word for UFO, but the UAP is unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Yeah.
Phenomenon. Bum, bum, la, la, la.
Phenomenon. Yeah, I got one last caller I want to get to, but do appreciate your calling.
Blessings to you guys.
Man.
It's been great. Hopefully, I'll be able to call back next week or something.
Good hearing from you again, man. Take care.
Okay. Hey, Jason in Pennsylvania, we got a couple minutes. What are you thinking?
All right. How are you guys? I wanted to hear you continue with the finish your thought and or review or your take on that documentary that you recently watched. You said the telemarketers?
It's called The Telemarketers. I thought it was fascinating. I mean, damn, I'd recommend that movie, right? You know, I didn't really like it, and I was watching it on a really crappy TV set at the time. It's just on in the background, and then it caught me, right? Because they talked about telemarketers back in the 90s and the early 2000s, and they were calling for the Fraternal Order of Police. You're like, what? So they're calling for the cops, and they're a bunch of criminals, and they're smoking pot, and they're doing crack, and they're doing all sorts of stuff while calling people to try to get $20, $30, $35 from them, right? And they're making a killing, and they're giving the cops 10%, 5%, right? And it happens over time, and it happened forever, and it happened forever, and they shut them down. And they say they didn't even take any money from them. I mean, it's fascinating. And you go, why the cops are letting them do that? It really didn't come to a conclusion. But have you seen the movie, Jason?
I've seen the kind of like a preview commercial or whatnot, a featured, you know, they were saying, you know, like a new release or whatnot. Yeah. And I had a friend actually who worked in that company.
Really?
Back in the 2000s or whatnot. It was telemarketing, as far as I guess the top producers, yeah, he said that the top guys were more like that, kind of addicts
crazy
and stuff. And yeah, but he didn't have that good of an experience there, so didn't stick around for too long. But
From the movie, from what I saw, you know, they didn't pay the most. That's not a job that they didn't even make commission, right? But it was an ego job, right? I'm the best. I can close. And everybody could close, right, if you followed the script. And that was the secret. You know, I did call center work back in the early 90s, and I did inbound and outbound. Found out that I couldn't do outbound because... well, hell, I can't call you up and say, hey, do you want to blah, 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 and talk you into it? That's not me, right? That's not what I do. But anyway, so I did call center work. That's partly why I liked it. But the character that created this thing kind of did his whole lifetime in call centers, right? From a young man in his 20s, you know, being at this crazy call center thing and, you know, manipulating people to give money to the cops, right, well, you know, watching his compadres doing drugs at the place, the cops going out and shutting down their business, and then everybody's like, well, okay, that's the end of an episode of our lives. And then it springs up tenfold, hundredfold. Fascinating movie. It's called The Telemarketers.
Here we are.
You know, we're at the end. Thanks for calling in, Jason. Alan, say your goodbyes.
Take care, folks.
Bye.
There you go. We'll be back.
Bye.
Won't you give me a call? Sign bewildered. Bewildered, bewildered. You have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood. Dear Abby, my fountain pen leaks. My wife hollers at me and my kids are all freaks. Every side I get up on is the wrong side of bed. If it weren't so expensive, I'd wish I were dead. Signed, unhappy. Unhappy, unhappy, you have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood. Dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby. You won't believe this, but my stomach makes noises whenever I kiss. My girlfriend tells me it's all in my head, but my stomach tells me to write you instead. Sign, noisemaker. Noisemaker, noisemaker, you have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.